This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Episode 660, my friends, on deck here. Patricia Chewy is going to talk to us about editing. As you can see, I haven't done a show in a while, so we got the wrong lower third and everything is not working today. But now I'm on track. Now I had my monster, and we're going to be talking about the importance of editors. And I've worked with human editors for a long time. And my question is, do I still need a human editor today? Why can't Grammarly just be my editor? $144 for the year, much cheaper than a person. I don't know. We'll find out what Patricia has to say about that topic. She's a content marketing strategist, and you can actually find her at patriciachewy.com. We're going to throw that up here at the bottom. If it works, there it is. And yeah, let's find out what her opinion is, and you know, why not? Grammarly is my new editor. End of episode 660. Maybe not. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Oh, my fist didn't quite make it. Well, I feel like you're trying to be incendiary right now with talking about Grammarly. Why you really want to turn this into some sort of morning drive talk show, and I'm all for it. That punch was a me punching you in the face. I'm kidding.
Was you punching me? this is not a way we can punch each other. If you are listening on Apple or anywhere else, if you want to watch the video version, head on over to Spotify or the LinkedIn Live version, and you can see how much fun we're already having. But now let's get to the topic. Certainly, Grammarly can help us, but sometimes Grammarly, just like a human, the edits are just horrible. Number one, sometimes they're not correct at all. But let's focus on, why do we need a human editor? And what's the role of a human editor today when we have AI coming out of our ears?
Well, that is an excellent question. And first of all, I think editors are traditionally misunderstood, right? Editors frequently work behind the scenes. They don't necessarily get the credit. I'm not just saying that because I am one, you know, but editors are really the ones who oversee quality control, not just make sure that things sound good, but also help you become your better self, help you become a better writer, help you see things you couldn't see before. And one thing I actually wanted to address, given that you were talking about Grammarly, is that there are different types of editors, right? And maybe not everybody realizes that, but when you're talking about, say, fixing grammar or fixing, you know, spelling, putting a spell check on, that is what's known as copy editing, which is really just strictly making sure that all the grammar and the spelling are correct. But editors serve a lot of different roles that go far beyond that. A great editor won't just correct your spelling and your grammar, but will help you make sure that, you know, your narrative is structured well, that you have a point that is unique and strongly expressed, that there's a structure. I actually started my career as a book editor. And then I moved eventually into digital publishing. But now I work in content strategy, you know, marketing strategy, all those sorts of things. But the tenets are basically the same, which is, do you have a point of view? What is the point that you're trying to make? And how are you structuring the story? Does it have a beginning, a middle, and an end? Does it make sense? Is it going to appeal to people? There are a lot of questions, issues that a really good editor can address. And one more thing that I will say is sometimes people think that an editor, sometimes you'll turn in your work. I've certainly been, you know, I've had this happen to me. You turn in your work and it comes back with all these red marks and everything is completely rewritten. I don't personally love to do that as an editor. I would rather, you know, make some notes and then you talk to the writer and say, hey, let's talk about this. I want you to understand why I changed what I did and have some questions for you and let me help you make it better. So in an ideal situation, that's what an editor would do. Granted, we don't always live in an ideal world. And so frequently there's not enough time to do that. I totally understand that. Does that basically answer your question?
Yeah, basically. The one thing I was just thinking about is, it is true. Like some of those tools, they're copy editors. I mean, certainly you can put stuff into other tools and be like, hey, what's the tone? How does this sound? Give me some feedback on this against what I'm trying to do, whatever. But a person can do that too. The other thing that maybe we can dive into for a moment is the different content types. So I wrote a few books. And editing a book is very different from editing an article. And editing an article is very different from editing an email. And editing an email is very different from editing a social post, right? And I think sometimes, and so my teenage daughter did a great job writing an essay. It was great, but it wouldn't work as a blog post because essays, the way they still teach them, it's like long paragraphs and no subheads and like flowery language and like, do you know what I mean? Like very verbose. She did fantastic when it comes to that. But the people that grew up in that model, now they're trying to take that to blog post writing and they go, well, this is how I learned how to write. And I'm thinking, I'm like, but that's not how blog posts work. So what is the, how do you know the editor that you're working with knows how to actually edit for whatever the content type is you're after?
Well, that's when you know you have a good editor, you know? I mean, that's part of the editor's job is also to think about the medium, the context, the audience. And like I was saying earlier, I don't particularly love rewriting a writer's words because I want to make sure that they preserve their voice. So having an author preserve their voice and really just bringing out the best in that is one thing, but also thinking about the medium and tailoring to that medium is another thing. And that's when you start to get a little more into content strategy, but a really good editor is embracing that type of content strategy as well. I'll give you an example. You know, you were saying about your daughter writing an essay and it being great. It's so funny because not that long ago, I was home at my parents' house for the holidays and I went and looked up some of my college essays and I looked at them and I thought, wow, these are really good. I used to write really well, but it was a different type of writing, right? It was a much more academic type of writing that is, I don't really write that way anymore because of the type of writing and editing I've had to do for you know, digital and for social. So thinking about the medium is important. I would also venture to say the opposite of what you're saying. People who learn to write in an essay style, it's hard to adapt that to a blog post or, you know, to, let's say, a tweet or a, I guess we don't call them tweets anymore, an X, whatever we call them, or an Instagram story. Conversely, there are some people.
Hold on a second. No, I'm sorry to interrupt. Wait,
what do we call
them? Is that really what we call it? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I don't actually know. Maybe somebody in your audience can tell us.
Whatever. It's so, I don't even do Twitter anymore, honestly, or X or whatever. It's just been kind of a mess. But yeah, it's interesting. How do you, do you think an editor can adjust their style across the different types? Can they learn the different styles or is it like writing? So like, I would say my foundation is a writer, but like I've adjusted my style, my knowledge, my whatever to blog writing, to social writing, to podcast headline writing. Do you know what I mean? All those different things. So I guess it's doable, but what do you think?
I mean, you can do it. You've done it. I mean, a good editor does the same thing, right? Sometimes it takes a minute, you know, but you are wearing different hats. Take your example of if your daughter decided to write a book, right? Or you've written books before, you are still going to have a voice, right? And I would like to think that that voice remains your voice, whether you're writing a book or you're writing, you know, an essay, an op-ed, a blog post, or a, you know, well, I'm not going to say tweet, Facebook post, Instagram story, what have you. But yeah, there are character limitations. There's knowing let's take social media. You know that a best practice in social media is you have to get to the point sooner. You can't have what they call throat clearing. You need to be direct. You need to be to the point. When you write a headline, you need to, you know, there are certain best practices for headline, depending not just on what you're trying to say and, you know, the medium and the format, but also the publication that you're writing for. I used to work for Business Insider. Business Insider has a very specific, very successful headline style that is not the same type of headline style that works well on, say, the New York Times. So that's another thing that an editor is going to have to know, not just what type of headline and what type of writing works for, you know, the medium, the format, the distribution method, but what works for the voice and the house style of the publication itself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And, you know, what is the importance of a style? So, for example, I mean, I had Carmen Hill on the show, and we had a 24-minute episode about the importance of having a company's style guide. And so there is obviously an importance, and we did talk about that already at length. But, you know, when it comes to editing and the importance of doing that, like, an editor has to know that. But what is the actual importance that you use it? You say one thing the same way, or you use the same style. Does that help with performance, or is it more for the people that really will catch little bitty things? And if they catch it, like, you know, they're going to be like, oh my goodness, they can't even do this correctly or whatever. Like, what's the real importance of an editor knowing the style and enforcing the style, I guess?
Are you talking about style of the platform again? Or are you talking about style of the publication?
It is a fantastic question. I was talking about like the style of the brand, right? Every brand has certain words that they don't use. And then, of course, you also have to apply that to the styles of the different platforms. Mm-hmm. And how does an editor, what's their role in doing that? And why couldn't the writer just do it correctly to begin with?
Well, that's another answer to your question of what is the role of an editor, because knowing how style is something that an editor always has to keep in mind, meaning how style for the publication. Let's say the New York Times, they use a serial comma, right? No, actually, no, I can't remember if they do or not. I think they don't. New York Times uses AP style, which doesn't use a serial comma. But another publication, treats it differently. And so it's important to be consistent, not just in the copy, but as you're saying, in the style itself, because people who, say, go to the New York Times to read a story, they expect a level of consistency as far as the voice. The way the New York Times talks about things is not going to be the same way that BuzzFeed, you know, writes about something. So consistency is really important, and that is another huge role of the editor, right? I would say also when you're looking at, say, a website, forget about a publication, but just let's say you have a website, right? And you have a lot of different people contributing to your website. Helping you build the website. So you contract with one person to write copy for the homepage, and then you have somebody else who's building out, you know, a calendar and timeline, or I don't know, all your different pages, right? If you have different people writing those pages, they are all going to come out sounding different unless you act as an editor or hire an editor to make sure that they are all consistent in tone of voice. And you know, as a user, how important that is, because if you go to a website and all the pages sound like they were written by different people, then you don't have cohesiveness of the brand, who they are, what they're trying to say. You know, all of this ladders up to sort of brand identity, strategy, style, you feeling like you're, everything is sort of in one voice. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it doesn't. You know, the thing I was thinking about too is, I mean, once you have a good content program running, you certainly will have more than one person doing the writing, right? And it's very interesting. So, like, the way I always thought about that before is you need somebody who owns the strategy, right? And they're reading the content for, does that actually make sense for what we're trying to accomplish, right? So, and this is always, I think, when you talk to good content strategists, when you say, hey, what's the point of that post? Like, why was that post published? Now, some people who are argumentative might actually not understand why that's a good goal, right? Like, especially brand awareness. I mean, everybody wants to be bottom of the funnel, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the only thing they care about. But brand awareness certainly matters, right? So if that's the goal, you know, you write that one way. If it's something else, if it's demand gen, might be a whole different topic, but you have to have somebody who owns that. So is it actually harder to be an editor today than it was 20 years ago? If I'm just thinking about, like, if I'm thinking about a newspaper editor, they edited one way 20 years ago, but now if you have to include, what's the strategy? Does this align with the strategy? Why is this in here? What's the goal? That's very different from writing copy for a marketing trifold in the 1990s.
Yeah, no, I guess you could say it's harder because you have to think about more things. You certainly do have to think about more platforms, you know, am I writing this for social or what have you? But the skill set is the same. And I would say the best performing teams or the best, you know, performing the best projects involve a level of collaboration. So it isn't necessarily all on the editor to figure out also the content strategy and, you know, the point of view, what the brand is trying to say, where they're coming from. That's marketing, right? But in an ideal world, that would be clear, the strategy, the point of view, et cetera. And then you would work alongside an editor to make sure it's consistent and you're always carrying it through. I want to go back to one of your original questions about editing for different formats. One example, for book editing, for example. So yeah, it's difficult to edit a book. It's a long, you've written books before, it's difficult to write a book. And I'm sure when you were writing a book, you were thinking to yourself, what did I say on page 3? I don't remember anymore. And does this all hang together? I'm sure you needed an editor and welcomed having an editor to sit alongside you that you could send things to along the way and say, hey, yeah, no, this is holding up really well. Or, you know what, the plot starts to unravel a little bit here. Let's back up and let's see where we can tighten it. So that is an editor, you know, should be your collaborator and your coach, if possible. That's why when people think of editors as just editing grammar, or, you know, fixing your grammar or what have you, I don't think that really touches what an editor can really do. But one more thing I was going to say, you may have a book editor who works with the author and says, okay, what's your story? Is this consistent? If you're editing a novel, you know, is this character fully developed? Is this thing that they're doing believable? All those sorts of things. It's really, really interesting. I love editing. I don't know if you can tell, but then you also have frequently a copy editor who goes back through the finished manuscripts and points out not just spelling and grammar, but inconsistencies and does fact checking. And I know that this episode today is not about fact checking, but fact checking isn't really done that often anymore because it's so laborious and time intensive. And the New Yorker famously has a fact checking department, but not everybody does. But that's crucial too. Just having somebody check your work, having somebody to be your partner. Everybody should want that.
So, I mean, absolutely, right? And I think, unfortunately, we know there's the Content Marketing Institute, they put out a report that many, many content marketers, you know, nobody even edits their work, nobody reviews their work, and they just like one person show, basically. But let's maybe focus the last part of the show here on how does an editor actually work with a person? And I still remember, and they weren't true editors, right? They were teachers, they were whatever. Sometimes they were editors. And they were kind of jerks. I hope that doesn't make
sense. Wait, your editors were jerks? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, or even like teachers, you know, instead of saying, and maybe I'm just like, maybe I was just too, I don't know. Maybe I took everything too personal. I don't know. But it just felt like they were jerks. Like, why would you say this? You know, like instead of saying, hey, how does this fit within the strategy? See the difference in tone already? Like, how does this fit within the strategy? Hey, did you know, like, here's some other ideas for this one word, like this word, especially today in the world of AI. So there's some words that I think people should never, ever use anymore. Unlock, unleash, transform. In today's fast moving world, like those are telltale signs, even if you didn't use AI, that AI wrote the content, because AI uses those words all the time, or delve into it until AI came around. Patricia, I've never heard a person in the world use that word. Hey, Patricia, welcome to the Business Storytelling Show. Let's delve into this topic. Who talks like that?
We obviously work in marketing, and some of the jargon is just sort of the anathema to clear writing, but I'm not going to lie. I'm sure I've used it. I do have a quick question for you. What is your least favorite bit of marketing jargon? Your word. Just give me one word.
The least favorite word? Ugh.
I have one, but I wouldn't know yours. If it helps, I'll give you mine.
It's not a word. It's like a phrase, like industry leading. I mean, like you go to a conference and every company has industry leading or first or whatever. And I'm like, it is mathematically not possible that everybody is leading this race.
Well, I mean, that goes back to a bit of advice that I like to give people. This is certainly not my advice. This is age old writing advice, which is show, don't tell. A lot of those adjectives are just there for ornamentation. You know, they don't really mean anything. If you say something is ginormous, you know, what does that really mean? Ginormous as compared to what? My least favorite bit of marketing jargon is the word impactful. I just feel like it's a made up word. You know, why can't you just say that something has an effect, you know? So I personally am a big fan of trying to get rid of jargon, just trying to say what you mean, being straightforward, being conversational. To your point about your editors being mean, well, look, it's understood, but it's easy to forget sometimes that writing is very, very personal enterprise. I know I've been a writer and an editor. When I'm an editor, I think I know everything. And when I'm a writer and I get edited and somebody says, you know, changes something or has advice, whatever, I sometimes take it personally as well. So it's your baby. Those words are your baby, right? And you're very proud of them. And to have it come back with red marks all over and somebody completely changing it or saying they didn't like it or asking you why I did it. Yeah, I mean, of course you're going to take it personal. They're insulting your child. They're saying your baby is ugly, right? But, you know, one of the skills of a good editor or something that you learn as you go through your career is how to be you know, tactful and mindful and kind, and in a way that's going to produce a better result. You know, if you get the writer mad, then you, that's not a collaboration anymore. It's hard. I may say to you, hey, you know, maybe this choice of words would be better. Why did you say this? And you may take offense anyway, you know, but all you can do try and do is work together. So yes, I totally understand you're thinking editors are mean. It's a natural reaction, but you know, we're on your side.
I mean, I don't think all the editors are.
Well, okay, we're not all on our side. Yeah, I'm here to represent the good, nice editors.
you're the one of the nice ones, you know. But it's like certainly there's been jerks in my past, and I mean, I'm sure they know who they are. What's interesting too is I think it depends, right? So if I'm doing something for like a client, like, it's not going to be my baby, right? Like 100% no. And so you have to be like, that's different. So you have to figure out what do they need? How can you help them? And like, it's a different dynamic. But get this. One time I did an article on my blog and one person, and now that is my baby. Like this thing is my baby, right? Like we're going to fist bump on the show to get started. And if somebody ever says, oh, we don't fist bump, it's against my beliefs or whatever. Like, I don't know how we're going to start the show. It's my baby. That's how we do it. But you know what I mean? So then I had one person one time, they were trying to edit an article I did on my own blog and they were quoted. And I was like, well, if you don't like your quote, let me know. We'll take it out or we'll update it. But you do not get to edit my article, whether it makes it better or not. I don't really care. Like, go away. So there's all those different things. So just something to keep in mind, right? But if I hire an editor, certainly that's one thing. If I work for a client, that's a whole nother thing. And then I get my own thing. I know we're going to run out of time. Patricia, I really enjoyed your insights and knowledge bombs here. Last 40 seconds. Tell us, how do people reach out to you? Who should reach out to you? Perfect clients, so to speak.
Sure. You know, I started as an editor, but I'm doing content and marketing strategy now. You can find my website, patriciajuhi.com, C-H-U-I, rhymes with buoy. Patricia at patriciajuhi.com is an email address that if you'd like to use that, or you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review The Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform. And subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.